And this is the Grace Hour Show. We're coming to you live today, this Tuesday, from Baltimore, where we are at Greater Grace Church in East Baltimore. So we're talking this week. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me today, Pastor Ronaldo Brown. We are talking this week about rest for the weary. And we have a very theological assignment, the two of us. We've been given this theological assignment about Sabbath in the modern world. And what does it mean? So this is connected to the rest there. And so we're going to cover this word that maybe you're not used to, or you have sort of a legalistic connection to it. Mm-hmm. Jesus was, declared himself to be the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. That's an interesting statement. We'll unpack that a little bit. We're just talking about, I'd like to set it up maybe, Pastor Ronaldo, by reading I think this might be like, I hope it's a theme verse for this week, where it says, Matthew 11, it says, "Come unto me," Jesus speaking, mm-hmm. "all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And when we talked about this before we came on, you did say, like, what does the Sabbath mean for a New Testament believer? Because yes. Sabbath is a very Old Testament, Ten Commandments designation, and we know it. Keeping the Sabbath holy is one of the designations there. God rested on the seventh day. And Jesus is saying, come to me, mm-hmm. laboring and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Mm-hmm. So I think that is the essence mm-hmm. of New Testament life, being born again, knowing that he finished the work. And let's go from there.
Beautiful. I think when you hear these, sadly, Sabbath has turned into a religious term.
Yeah.
When you hear the word Sabbath, because some New Testament denominations have grabbed that word from Judaism mm-hmm. and used it. Like, the word Sabbath appears like 70 times in the Gospels, but then I think it appears a few times in Acts, or once actually in the book of Acts, then you think only one other time in Colossians do you even hear about it in the rest of the epistles total. But we've mm-hmm. kind of, just like the Pharisees did with the Sabbath, I think some churches have changed the view of what a Sabbath is, so we kind of run away from it. One of the myths that's out there is that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath, which there's nothing scriptural to support that. Yeah. There's no verse that says that Sunday is our Sabbath. I grew up in a certain denomination, and Sunday was the Sabbath, and you treated Sunday, you reacted on Sunday like a Jew would act in Judaism on mm. Saturday. And there's no verse, it's just church culture. Mm. I think a lot of people don't understand what the word Sabbath means. It comes from a Hebrew verb meaning to stop or to cease or desist. And basically in Exodus chapter 16, God actually pronounced it before he commanded it. He yeah. mentions it first and says, by the way, the reason why when you gather manna on Friday, you gather 2 days is because I don't want you to gather manna because there's a Sabbath. And he mentioned it. And then he says, keep it. Later, it becomes a command. But there were Sabbath breakers back in Exodus chapter 16, even as he's giving it in the same chapter, it's happening. The Jewish viewpoint of the Sabbath is not the same viewpoint as far as the believer, as far as keeping of the law. For them, it was a rule. For yeah. ours, it is reflective of a relationship.
Yeah.
I kind of like it in an ironic way. I liken the Sabbath to Holy Communion. Okay. Holy Communion is designed for me to think and remember what happened on the cross. Mm. For the believer, which is what God's people were supposed to, they were supposed to stop working so that they could think and remember and look to unto their God and cease from working to think. And you, it's like a fast even. The time I would normally eat, I'm using this time to think and reflect about God. That is the premise behind a Sabbath. So really, for the believer, I don't believe in a Sabbath, but I do believe in a day of rest. I do believe in some rest.
Yeah.
I do believe in setting aside some time to remember and reflect on who God is. And really, every day kind of qualifies for that technically. But I do believe in setting aside some time for God on a consistent basis, which is what Holy Communion is, because it even says there's no schedule for Holy Communion either. It just kind of says you do it in remembrance of me, and you continue to do it. But it doesn't give you like you have to do Holy Communion every fourth Sunday, every second Sunday. And the Sabbath, the day of rest for the believer, is not, it's not assigned to a specific day.
Yeah.
We choose Sunday as this set-aside day to assemble and remember, to assemble and worship, to assemble and honor, because of the connection between Christ resurrecting from the dead, Christ, his relationship with them after the resurrection. He met with them and gave on another Sunday. Also, even John in Revelation chapter 1 talked to, I was talking to God. I got a vision of God in the house of God in the Lord's day. But that's not referring to the day of the Lord. It's referring to the specific day that Christ rose from the dead. So in honor of what was done historically and by extension eternally, by honoring that, that's why we choose a Sunday as an organized assembly. But Hebrews 10:25 says we can assemble a lot, more than once. So if we can assemble a lot, we can have a lot of Sabbaths, a lot. Yeah. But I think what gets in the way, Pastor Steve, is the word, the vocabulary, the semantics of it, the Sabbath. You start thinking culturally, you start thinking denominationally, you start thinking historically. Mm-hmm. So you run back to Exodus like, okay, we have to keep the Sabbath, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, we think keeping the Sabbath gets much more religious attention than thou shalt not kill.
That's true. Yeah.
There's a lot of different Ten Commandments you could grab and lift up, but thou shalt not kill does not get as much attention religiously as keep the Sabbath. I mean, you can tell people that if you don't keep the Sabbath, I heard somebody tell me, you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going to hell.
Yeah, I've had that too. Guy on the street.
Oh, he lit into me. And without saying what group, he said, you know what? So I said, so you're saying if I don't keep the Sabbath, my ability to keep the Sabbath is directly impacting my relationship with God eternally. He said, yes. I'll go to hell. He said, yes.
Wow. That sort of denies the finished work there.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think I wanted to use those verses there is because we understand that when we talk about Sabbath on this side of the cross, you know, really it involves whenever we're weak or heavy laden, it requires a turning, like you said, a remembrance, a turning to him. And just like, you know, and rest is the first four letters of restoration. It's like we may have had like sort of a falling out. Like, how do we get that rest back? How do we reconcile? How do we repent? All of those things is involved in like an understanding of, you know, ceasing from our own works.
Yes.
I think that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
When Jesus finished the work, it meant that there's no more ladder to climb. There's no more stairway for us to try and access in order to gain a understanding of heaven. And, you know, I think it's related to the word, like you said something really good in the staff meeting a few moments ago about like, you know, sometimes you're praying, you don't even know it because you're praying without ceasing. You are calling to mind something from God. And I think sometimes we are living in Sabbath and we don't even know it.
Beautiful.
It's like, you know, that moment, like sometimes when you choose to, maybe you've seen the story, there's a story of, there's like a little story out there. I don't know how it quite goes, but this guy spent a day with a plumber and, like he showed up at the plumber's house, and the plumber like touched a tree as he went in, and then he went entered the door, and like the guy says, "Why do you, you know, every day we've worked on this job, you've touched that tree." He said, that's my worry tree. He said, "Before I go into my household, everything that's happened in the day, I hang on that tree so it doesn't go through the door."
Nice.
And that's like sort of an idea of Sabbath. He said all of the problems that he had with maybe a plumbing job or anything that was thing, he wasn't going to bring it through the front door to his family. He was going to be dad and husband, and that's it. Everything else was outside of the door. And I don't know if that really relates to the Sabbath, but I think that's the, I think that's what you were saying is like, you know, we don't, that was like a prayer to him. Lord, I'm laying my burdens at this very, he made a very conscious effort to lay everything down before he got into his home. And that's Sabbath, you know?
I think that's the challenge. And understand our thought here today. We're not defining why we worship on Sunday.
That's pretty clear.
We understand.
We worship
why.
On Sunday because it, you know, like you said, you explained it well.
Yes.
We honor the day that the Lord was resurrected, and Sunday is that day historically defined.
Yeah, but I think I'm a New Testament believer, but maybe I'm a newer Christian, or maybe I'm a younger Christian, and I don't have the deep, rich history of going to church on Sundays. And then I hear this word thrown around: Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbath. Okay, pastors, what does that mean for me in a practical way? And you said it wonderfully when you said it's about rest. It's like, and it's like this: there's assigned rest.
Yeah.
And there's just what I would call practical rest. Assigned rest is when you decide to set aside, when you decide to set aside a specific portion of your time to reflect and assemble and remember. And we do it in a corporate way. And that happens. We chose historically Sundays, but that can be any day. We said that, the Sabbath, and there's always been a period of rest in the heart of God for his people, because that was in the heart of God in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He created the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. He took a step back from what he did and reflected on what was done. And you and I take a step back from what we're doing and reflect on what God has done. So there's this take a step back and reflect in a corporate way. And then the Jewish, under the law, the Sabbath under the law was, that was a specific day. God gave them a specific day. It's kind of like he did the same thing with finances. A tithe is a specific part of your finances. Mm-hmm. Sabbath is a specific part of your week that was set aside. And notice he said, on that day, I will give you extra provision so that you don't have to work, so that you have enough for that day. So you don't have to work 6-7 days. You can work 6 days, and I'll give you enough in 6 days to live for seven. I had a guy in our church in Zambia. He was a security guard, and he worked 7 days.
Mm.
Third world employment, you're going to work 7 days or you're not going to have a job.
Yeah.
And there's 500 guys that will do what you're doing if you're not willing to. So you got a family to feed, you're going to work 7 days. He said, "Pastor, pray for me." He said, "I want to be here in church." He said, "But I'm not making enough. If I work 6 days, I'll lose the job." I said, "Let's believe God that he'll give you a new job, that you only have to work 6 days."
Mm-hmm.
And then he got one. But then he said, "Pastor, it was driving a taxi, but I'm not making enough money. So now I'm going to have to drive the taxi for 6-7 days. I said, "Okay, now you've got your income in your hand. Let's put it on the altar. Let's pray and let's believe God that you can make enough money driving a taxi in 6 days to cover you and your family for seven." He said, "But that's," I said, "Yeah, it's risky. It requires faith," yeah. Right? Who gave you a different job. Why can't you honor him and kind of give it back to him? Like, you had the job before 7 days. Now God gave you a different job, but in a way you're giving it back to him when you say, "Okay, God, you gave me this other job as a provision to honor you. I'm not honoring you. So I'm going to put this job on the altar and say, God, I'm going to work for 6 days." And do you know he made more money in 6 than he would have made in a week and a half?
Well, I think you touched on a key word there. I think all of these things we're talking about, people who had worked ferociously and been worked relentlessly by their slave drivers in Egypt for centuries, 400 some years. Mm. And then God leads them out. And it was like, "I'm telling you this because you don't even know what it means to stop work."
Wow.
"And I'm telling you just to, you believe me just to sit still?" Like God is saying, "Can you believe me about the tree?"
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing, you know, do you trust me that, that this tree is a detriment? You got all this other stuff and detriment. Like you said, you got 6 days and he made it. I've just looked, when I was thinking about this yesterday in, on the New York State thruways, they have a certain restaurant that that prepares delicious sandwiches. It's all that they do. But they only do it 6 days a week.
Would there be chicken inside those sandwiches?
Yeah, they're just chicken. Okay, they have pickles on it. I always get extra pickles on mine because I like them. I like the way it does it. But anyway, spicy sandwich with extra pickles. Okay. But there was a... There was a, you know, but they refused to like open on Sundays. And so it was really strange because a legislator said like, we are not going to give we're going to cancel their contract because I want to get a chicken sandwich on Sunday. It was like, and the people, there was like such an uproar. Like, how dare you say like how the organization is supposed to operate? You've signed a contract with them and now you're saying they're violating a contract because they give their employees a day not to come to work.
Right.
And it was like totally secular in the whole presentation, but we know that the company is Christian owned apparently, and they operate on this principle. And it is like you said, trust.
Yes.
Like you're the guy in your church in Zambia trusted God and God did it. And this was, you know, God was instituting these Sabbaths, not so much to give people a time to sleep, but to say, do you trust me? And there was Sabbath years.
Yes.
Like we know that every seventh year, the land was supposed to be allowed to be untilled.
Yes.
Let it lay. Whatever comes up, yeah, that's fine. But don't be like, you know, plowing and everything. Give it a chance to give a time of restoration. We know that they violated that. They violated that. We got triple. We got triple in year six. What are we getting in year seven? It was like a test. What was in your heart?
Yes.
Do you believe what God says about this? So we know that when God rescued the slaves from Egypt, he was building a nation of witness. And now with the finished work, he's bringing a body of testimony, you know, so this was a nation of witness. Now we are a body of testimony made of all kingdoms. And these are two things. So this was like, these are rules. These rules are for you. If you live by, when you read the Ten Commandments, you realize you get a really sense, like if people just followed them, life would be very good on earth. Humans would be thriving. They wouldn't be killing, stealing, and coveting, and part of it is like God first, you know, and then also Sabbath and honor your father and mother. And then after that, it's just, you know, we realize that. But, you know, so the idea of trusting God to believe what he says about that, you know, I think of that, like when I see the word, other S word, Selah, you know, I'm reading these really cool things that are being said from David that we can be singing them. But it, you know, at a certain point we get this little thing that says, you know, you need to like ponder that for a while, take a step back and think. And I think that's what Sabbath is. You know, take a step back and enjoy. Like you said, God stopped, not because he needed to, but because he wanted to appreciate all that had happened and what he said and what he did.
I like what you said there. Like, it's the Sabbath for me is kind of like a schedule Selah.
There you go.
And you kind of and here's why we need it. You hit on a great point. The Jews came out of centuries of work.
Exactly.
As much as you think
brutality.
You work, so if that's in you to work, like I've met some people that I grew up with who the grandfather worked, they worked four jobs, they worked, for them to not work, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. And this society that we live in, we are workers. We are like work. Everything is open 7 days a week. Everything is open 24 hours a day because somebody's working. Holidays, Christmases, people are working. We just work. With retirement is kind of a joke. We just keep work. So how does God pump the brakes? How do I have time to stop and reflect? It's so funny you bring this up. Vacation-wise, people get away from their schedule to reflect. They're so busy. They got to go out in the Rockies, go out in the woods, go camping, you know, go take a trip to Paris. They got to go do something just so they can sit back and just appreciate what they have. Appreciate who they are. Appreciate, even as a Christian, appreciate. Well, God is saying, you don't have to go on a vacation.
Yeah. How about you just assemble together and rehearse and revere me? It's just, it's basically a corporate remembrance, which is, again, what the sacraments are. The sacraments are corporate practiced habitual remembrance. It's the same thing with a Sabbath, a day of rest. And there is. So should we observe a Sabbath? Yes. I there is a rest that remains for the people of God, Hebrews 4:9. And that's not a day. That's a rest from my own works in verse 10, right? Mm-hmm. So that, and then the living God works through us, right? In Philippians 2:14 and Hebrews 13:14, that he works through us. And so we enter into this resting, right? I mean, that's what Hebrews chapter 1:3 talks about, where it says Christ sat down after he finished the work in John 19:30. He sat down. All of the high priests before him that were involved in the temple never sat down. They were doing thousands of sacrifices. There's no seats in the outer court at all.
Or around the table of showbread. You don't even sit to eat.
The only seat in the tabernacle was the mercy seat. There were no chairs in there.
That's a big theological topic for another season. Put that down, Jehu.
Could you imagine for a second, like, I mean, what kind of job is that? Well, you're a priest. What happened? You're walking, you're standing all day. I mean, you better see Levites in nurse's shoes walking around, because you got to stand all day. So it's a significant thing that Jesus Christ sat down, because every other Jewish high priest, they didn't sit while they worked. They just worked and they stood. And Christ stopped working because he was finished working. And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And that is the rest we enter into. And that is the rest that we honor when we honor the day of resting that's in Christ, which is 7 days a week.
Yeah.
We just choose historically to assemble and we can say it this way, and remember the rest that is ours in Christ.
Really. Yeah. Yeah, it's that's so true. Just how we generally, like you said, that you mentioned the sacraments. Yeah. The sacraments started very casually, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus is eating with his guys in the upper room. Do this in remembrance of me. It wasn't like, you know. But as time goes on, it's like people get attached to, like you said, like Sabbath,
sure,
Selah, these kind of things. People like. They become enforced, like we talked earlier, that there are 39 Pharisaic rules on the books in the days of Jesus. Wow. And one of them was you're not to perform some sort of medical event or medical intervention on the Sabbath. You do that on 6 days. And Jesus healed a couple people, man with a withered hand, the woman who was hunched over. A woman plagued by the devil, hunched over, came to church, came to sanctuary. Jesus touched her and she's straightened up. It's like, and that straightening up was a violation of the Sabbath. It's like, you know, Jesus is saying this is the tendency that we have toward, you know, human beings have a tendency toward religious routine.
Sure.
And if something becomes a religious, like you said, the guy who's saying, if you don't follow this Sabbath, and he probably wanted you to follow the Saturday Sabbath.
Absolutely.
I've had that. He's like saying, you're out of the will of God. You can't be in the kingdom of God if you're not practicing. Yeah. And I'm like going, you know, really? Have you read the Bible? Have you heard that Jesus, the Sabbath was made for me in order to think about who he is? And that's, I think it is. But it's not made for me to like try and fit myself into, like I said, some people work very hard on making their vacations, but they're not really restful. They rest more at home, but they put everything into their vacation. Same thing, like some, you know, the Pharisees had so many Sabbath rules. So many Sabbath rules that the people were really in bondage to exercising their rest. It's like this, and Jesus is saying, I just came here to touch it. I didn't even really work anything up. It's just like, I just touched her. There, he just said, stood up and stretch out your hand. That's all I did. I spoke the word. It's like
too much.
too much.
Because they hijacked the Sabbath. And they hijacked it. This is like, going back to your analogy there, if I go on vacation, and I work hard, and I work harder on my vacation than I do on my job,
my own planning has hijacked my vacation. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah. I just hijacked my own vacation. And that's what they did. They took what was meant to be a time of reflection and made it a time of restriction. And that's the mind. When people think about Sabbath now, they think about restriction. And that's not God's intention. That's man's application. Like, okay, hey, this rule's here, that rule there. And I always love to ask those guys who hammer me about the Sabbath. I always ask them, okay, so do you keep the law? Do you keep the Sabbath the way it was designed and described? And I go through the verses, and I'm like, no. So you're in violation of the very Sabbath you're asking me to keep.
Yeah.
You've lost the principle. You've lost the point of rest. Your Sabbath has no rest. Your Sabbath has restriction. Is there a day of rest for the believer? Yes, that's what I believe in. I don't believe in a day of restriction. In the rest, because of the relationship, there are things I don't do, but I'm not splitting hairs about what happens. For instance, in the book of Acts, they were evangelizing on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You read the book of Acts. Peter, John, those guys were evangelizing on the Paul. They were evangelizing. They broke the law. And by the way, it's so interesting. They honored the law. I mean, Peter and James and John, they still went to the temple. They still preached. They still prayed in the temple. They still honored many parts of Judaism under the law. But they had liberty in Christ.
Yeah.
Although they respected the law, they had liberty in Christ that they could actually evangelize and heal and counsel. They did a lot of spiritual work on the Sabbath. Yeah. Same as Christ, he healed on the Sabbath. Yep. So beware that you don't have a Pharisaical restriction by the Sabbath, because then I only go to church once. I know it's cultural. I know it's denominational. I know it's historical. I know it's Hebrew. But really, the idea of rest, the overarching idea back when God first came up with it in Genesis 1 and 2, carried forth to Revelation, is an idea of rest from what I do and reflection on what he does.
Yeah.
And when you think about it like that, when you process this idea of Sabbath through the cross, you get a practical understanding of what God's intention is. And that's what you have to drill down to. Don't get caught up in the vocabulary of the Sabbath and the presbyteros. And don't get caught up in the titles and the labels. I'm a believer in Christ. I have Christ in my life. The reason why I like a Sunday is a day of rest, because if I don't assign a day to it, it might not happen.
That's true.
To be honest, case in point, why do you go to the gym on certain days? For those of you who do gym, because you know, if you don't schedule that, you're not going to the gym. You're going to buy that $800 treadmill, a $2,000 treadmill. It's going to sit in your basement and be holding dirty clothes. But because you didn't plan it. So okay, this is kind of like an indirect plan. Like okay, once a week, minimum. I'm going to set aside, I'm going to tithe my week to God, and I'm going to refrain from other work, and I'm going to focus on his work, and I'm going to do it in a corporate way. And that's why we assemble. That's a good reason why we could assemble. We do assemble at least once a week. And that's why I need Sunday in my life, because without Sunday, where do I have this rest at? I mean, if you can't even plan your own, some guys are so busy, they can't even have their own practical vacation. Yeah. If you can't have a day of rest or a time of rest in your work schedule, what makes you think you're going to set aside time for God?
It's true.
You won't.
Yeah. Why do you etch it in stone?
Yeah.
He just knows. He knows. He knows we are dust.
Yeah.
And you know what he knew what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like when we think of like Israel and why she was chosen by God, why Abraham was chosen by God, it's like, you know, God did not. You know, we look at Abraham, we know that he, you know, there are things that he did with lying about his wife, there's things he did with Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a perfect man, but God still chose him and his descendants to be a blessing to the world.
Mm.
And why did he etch this in stone? If you practice this, people will see it.
Yes.
And like with the company I was talking about earlier, the chicken making company, what I was talking about earlier, it's like people would love to have their profit margin, their bottom line. And, you know, they choose 52 days out of the year to be not open.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people would love to have the line around the store that's doing that. So it's like, this is a testimony.
Yes.
It's a entrepreneurial you know, whatever testimony to like, you know, if you have convictions.
Amen.
And your convictions are settled and you're not going to violate those convictions. And people are like, and they stumble over them. And why? Well, you should work. You know why? Busy. Yeah. We are busy. Yeah. It's just, that's the modern life, you know?
Sure.
And, I think, you know, another word I'd like to look at here is a word that, you know, God instituted in Leviticus, this year of Jubilee, which is like all the debts are canceled. Mm-hmm. And this is like, again, like if I am a Jewish banker, and I don't know if I'm sure there were people in this culture, but when the year of Jubilee came, whatever I had lent out is erased. It's like would 49 years, you got 49 years. And then when you get to year 50, we're going to give everyone a reset. And like, no matter where you are in that standing. So this is like, this is the temple calendar, the tabernacle calendar, not your calendar. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, the year of Jubilee is coming because this was the last one. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking like, could we apply Sabbath that way? Like, okay, I'm going to spend a day of no spending. Maybe you,
ladies, are you listening?
If you spend, if you shop as therapy, you know, if shopping is a therapy
this
to
is
you,
America, then that's a thing.
That's a thing. Okay. I mean, if you are like, you know, punching in, like, you know, getting your orders delivered by that other company that has the little, looks like a smile with an arrow in the end.
Yes.
If you're like on that all the time, like, shouldn't you like give yourself a jubilee?
Oh, beautiful.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
should there be a moment in your life where you know, where you don't spend or where you forgive, where, you know, where society forgives debts, you know, I understand that people make decisions and like, it's not fair, but at the same time, everyone deserves a moment of, not deserves, what's the right word? Mercy is mercy. Do we give mercy in that area? Okay. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, we're just going to wipe your debts out. Mm-hmm. We're just going to wipe it out. This is going to wipe the thing clean. Mm-hmm. Go and sin no more or go and spend no more. Right. I don't
know. Are those words synonymous? Okay. No.
I don't know about that, but I'm just thinking, I thought of that. I was thinking about last night when I was preparing for this thing, I was like looking up some things and I'm thinking, well, here are some Old Testament principles. Like you said, Sabbath, Selah is a word. And then there's Jubilee. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like every seventh year, the land rests. 7 years of seven and everything rests. Mm-hmm. And everything is like, everyone gets back their property. It's like a total reset. And, you know, it seems to me like, you know, when we become born again, it's like a total reset. It's a jubilee.
Yes.
But we want to go back to that again and again. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say. Why do we come together? Mm-hmm. Well, one, like you said, we celebrate the resurrection, the communion. We celebrate the cross and the Last Supper. And then two, when we come together, there's a multitude of counselors. It's safety. And we come together to reset, to be reminded of what we gave ourselves to when we became born again.
Beautiful. I love that. So, I mean, so why do we don't get hung up in the day. I remember there was a certain denomination argue with me about Christmas. Well, it wasn't December 25th. I said, it happened. You can't erase the birth. You might erase you can burn down a Christmas tree, throw away the gifts, but it happened. And I'm celebrating the fact that it happened. I said, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you reset your calendar? Pick a day in August or pick a day in November. I don't care, but you're not going to erase the reality of it. So, okay, if Sunday's a hard word for you where you need Saturday, have Saturday. Enjoy that.
Have a good time.
But Hebrews 3 and 4, what's the key word emphasized in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4? It says today.
Yeah.
It says it today. Verse 7, verse 13, verse 15, of Hebrews 3 and chapter 4, verse 7 is today. So when should you rest? Today. So today is a Sabbath, really. I any day is a day that I can live in the rest that I have as a result of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Every day is a day of rest. But I like the idea of the corporate remembrance. It's just like when we have, again, why do you think baptism is public and corporate? Corporate witness, corporate remembrance. Yeah. Why is the sacraments? You can have personal communion. I know some denominations A leader will come by and give you personal communion. But why do we come together and have communion? For the same reason, corporate remembrance. So once a week, at least in my schedule, I want to sacrifice out of 168 hours a week. I'm going to give God a certain day, a certain time, say, okay, I'm going to cease from my work. I'm going to restrain myself from focusing on what I need to do. And I'm going to reflect and reverence who he is and what he's done. And that'll be my believer's rest. So again, the key is not the day, but the key is a day. Mm-hmm. I believe you should set aside some time. I think that's part of a spiritual discipline. As much as your discipline in setting aside your yearly vacation in the summer, your summer vacation, it's amazing we can budget our schedule months in advance, pay a lot of money, take a lot of time off, make sure we do our family vacation, but we can't understand the value of setting aside time in my schedule for corporate remembrance of what Christ did on the cross.
That's amazing. That's great. That's great. Let's talk about another word, another Old Testament word.
Okay.
Where, you know, we know the priests in the tabernacle, they were told to wear linen.
Okay.
Which meant no sweat.
Ah.
You know, so even they're busy about like, okay, this is the tabernacle, mm-hmm. very distinctive, significant rules for how it was to be constructed, how it was supposed to look, mm-hmm. everything right down to this, what the priests were wearing next to their skin. Why? You wear this because as you are serving the Lord mm-hmm. and helping people worship and bring their offerings, it's not supposed to be something that's athletic. It's supposed to be something that's releasing.
Yes.
It's recreation. It's right. recreation. Now, we've taken athletics and made it all, you know, we have recreation departments and they're all about athletics. Mm-hmm. But here in the worship center, you don't wear something that makes you sweat as you're bringing people's offering to God mm-hmm. because it's not, it's, you know,
yeah, because God's doing the work.
It's free will.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. right? God is doing the work.
I like that. Yes.
Yeah.
God's doing the work. So is that so interesting? It's a great picture of the finished work in that when I come with my offering, the actual work is being done by the representatives of God, that God is actually doing the work of absolving because he is receiving the sacrifice. So he's doing the work. He's doing the work. So you got, how do you put this? There's no seats, but there was no sweat.
That's right. No sweat, no sweat.
No seats, no sweat.
There we go. So that should be a t-shirt. No seats, no sweat.
They stood up the whole time, hours, thousands of sacrifices.
Yeah.
But they didn't sweat.
No.
Oh, they had linen there to make sure they didn't sweat, right? Because it's an idea of recreation and reverence, really.
Reverence.
It was a reverential situation that was happening.
It's the fear of the Lord.
That's it. And by the way, it was a really practical fear because you couldn't go. Fear of death was involved in not doing your job correctly.
That's right. Strange fire.
Nope.
And you got to go into the mercy seat with blood or else.
And it better be the right blood.
That's right.
You don't get that one right. There's no do-overs.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's a great idea about rest in my life. Like, a lot of young believers can ask the question, why do I go to church on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
They'll put that in the same conversation as stained glass windows,
yeah.
Steeple.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to call him pastor? Why is there a pulpit? What is all the pomp and circumstance surrounding my faith?
Mm-hmm.
And these things mean something to us, but they're not naturally defined. They're spiritually defined. Mm-hmm. They're not culturally defined. They're spiritually defined. So as a young believer with my Bible, I have to search out the scriptures and hear from the Spirit and let God define these words for me and let him give me the significance for that.
Yeah.
And I think for corporate assembly of remembering to reverence God, that's an encouragement to me. Sunday is an encouragement to me. It's a reminder to me that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead so that I might have a relationship with God. It's a reminder to me. So every Sunday is a rehearsal. It's a reminder to me. Why? It's like a Holy Communion, really.
Yeah.
Because really, every service that they did, they had communion back
then.
That's
right. Love feast at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. So why was that constantly happening? For the same reason why we constantly go to church. It was a reverential reminder.
Yeah.
It was a refraining from what I'm doing, and it was a remembering and a reverencing who he is and what he did. And that's the main idea behind the rest, right? Because it's always, whatever God says rest to the believer, he's always talking about resting from what I'm doing and resting in what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Sabbath, worship, church, all of that is practicing that very same thing. Because, by the way, if I don't ever rest from what I'm doing, I'll never going to rest in what he's done.
Mm,
and
so
again,
true.
We've got this culture in our in our society that was it goes back to the Egyptians back in Exodus. They had the same culture where you work. So when you have that mindset, it's the default for everything. So when you come to church, what do? You work.
Yeah.
I need a job in the church to do something. I need to do something in the church because I'm used to working 7 days, 24. That's work. I'm validated by the work. I'm affirmed by the work. And Christ says, well, wait a minute. You're affirmed in me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. You're accepted in me. It's the work that I did, right? It's what I've done. So again, you want to kind of strip away the layers, peel back the layers of the onion, drill it down to really the purpose of a Sabbath in my life as a New Testament believer. What is that? Like you said, number one, we said it together, the honoring of what Christ did, which goes back to the whole point of resting from what I did.
Yes.
And then number two, learning how to walk as a practice through the work of Christ. Even as I may work, I walk in his work, which gives me a different perspective of the work that we do.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think to one last thing, we could say that Sabbath is to help us in our relationship with God. I think about Abraham, two points of Abraham. At one point with Melchizedek, Melchizedek brought the bread and the wine and set before Abraham. There's another story later on in the book of Genesis where Abraham is met by God and Abraham serves the food to the three visitors there,
the Lord there.
So I'm thinking that Sabbath should be something that deepens your relationship with other believers in the body of Christ, and it should be deepening your relationship with God. And I'm just saying God meets you and he feeds you and then he meets you and you feed him.
Nice.
And it is reciprocal. Mm-hmm. It's like this restoration. Sabbath is, it could be a moment where there's not a lot of planned activity, but there is this contemplation on who I'm serving, who saved me, and how I can honor him. And he rescued me from a life of death and a life of slavery, bondage to sin, and how can I reciprocate that? And like I think in both ways, Abraham just came back from a victory. He was served by Melchizedek. The Lord met him. Abraham served the Lord. It's like, I think it's both. Beautiful. Everything can happen on a Sabbath day.
That's a good word.
And that what you can have in your life, right?
Amen.
Did we do it?
I think we did.
We did it. All right. So we're going to rest right now. We're going to give a Sabbath in our talking right now.
I'm toasted.
And we're going to let Jehu, our engineer, he can take a Sabbath and go to lunch. And
is it his turn again?
It's his. I don't know. Anyway.
It's Baltimore. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you, everyone. Thank you for your comments on the chat window there. And we want to thank everyone for being a part of the Grace Hour show today. For Pastor Ronaldo Brown, Pastor Steve Androlonis, Jehu, we want to thank everyone who's made this possible today. Subscribe at Apple, YouTube, Google, and Spotify and more. Be a part of the Grace Hour as much as possible. Let it be a part of your restful recreation and whatever contemplation. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.